The following recording dealing with how to talk to a child about death was prompted by the death of my son's rabbit. While it was a most sad event for the family, it did indeed provoke a very beautiful background for speaking to my children about death. It has been my experience that the subject of death is spoken very little at home, and for that reason, children that grow up in such an atmosphere sometimes have a harder adjustment period when death knocks at the door of their home. When the subject of death can be discussed with ease under normal situations, it provides extremely valuable data in the memory bank to be drawn upon when the experience of death happens. Children should be aware that death is natural. This is seen in the death of the goldfish, the rabbit, the dog, or the kitten. And while these experiences are monumental for the child, they can, as the following recording suggests, be a good introductory ground for the parent who is sensitive in educating their children. How to talk to a child about death. My son Kenny, age 10, came running into the room crying. Tears were flooding down over the little freckles on his nose. His blue eyes were red from the remorse he felt in his heart. And as he approached me, he cried out, "My little rabbit's dead." His whole world had collapsed. His little bunny was dead. Well, this occurred shortly before breakfast. And by this time, the other brothers and his sister were awake, and they too showed their remorse over the loss of the family pet. A few minutes later, the family was around the breakfast table. Breakfast that morning was not hurried, being a Saturday. It was a time when we could share our concerns, and the obvious concern of the morning was the loss of the pet rabbit. I told my children that death is a very common thing, that many bunnies die. The goldfish will die one of these days, perhaps. Their friend's cat down the street died a few months before. Death is common. The children then began asking me many questions. They got on the subject of death of a loved one, for example. One of them, maybe. Children have a lot of questions about death. It is easy for a parent to say it can be discussed later, or maybe when you are a little older, we'll talk about it. But wise is the parent who will speak to the child and explain what he feels on the subject of death. Robin, age 12, asked, "What is death?" In attempting to explain this, I said that it is at that point in time, humanly speaking, when one is no longer as we now know them. This one has lived perhaps 70, 80 years in a house that we call the body. This body is made up basically of dust, dust into which God has breathed his spirit, thus making it a living person. Death is that point in time when we no longer live in our house called a body, with eyes as windows and ears that let us hear and a mouth with which we speak. It is not really the eye that sees or the ear that hears or the tongue that speaks all in itself, but it is the soul or the real self that does those things. When we come to the end that we call death, we ask, is it really death? To die. Although our bodies have stopped working, our real self is still living. The question asked at the breakfast table was, just what is death? Well, death is the beginning of a new life. One has to die to get into the new life. We have to pass through the valley of the shadow of death, and death is that beautiful door. Two little boys were picking blackberries and invited a new friend on the block to pick with them. After they had filled their pails, one of the older children said, "Let's stop and let the train run over us." Well, this frightened the newcomer, but he was game to go along with it until the last minute anyway. What they meant was lying down on the embankment beside the railroad tracks. As the evening sun was setting, they felt a little warmth from the sun, and in their ears heard the toot of the train whistle coming around the bend. And as the train passed them, it cast its shadow on the little fellows. It was an unusual feeling, the newcomers said, to experience letting the train run over them. Well, it was the valley of the shadow of death. It did not last long. So it is with death. It is the entrance, and it is the tunnel through which we must go. Darren, our 7-year-old, said, I'm just afraid to die, Mother and Daddy. I sure hope death doesn't come to our house. Well, because we are human beings, death will come to our house someday, I explained. I hope it'll be a very long time away, so it will give us time to grow and to love and to make something of ourselves. But, I added, life is natural and death is natural, so we need not fear death. Death is peaceful. It's the thought of death that's frightening and not death itself. My wife, Nancy, and I tried to explain to our children that Saturday at the breakfast table that death was a very natural thing and that perhaps we should spend more time talking about it later. Well, the day progressed, and later Brian, age 5, came to me as we were watching television that evening and wanted to snuggle up in the chair with me. This is always a grand time when children do this, and especially if you know that they may want to talk to you. Well, it was a favorite program, but the question was important. It would have been easy to say, let's talk about it after a while or during the next commercial, but being sensitive to the feelings of my children, and with an arm around his shoulder, I asked, what is it? What is it, buddy? What's bothering you? And Brian replied, Daddy, what's heaven like? What is it like to go to that place you were talking about this morning at the breakfast table? We excused ourselves from the family room. We went to the bedroom where we could cuddle up together and had a little discussion on what this place is like. We can only guess what heaven is like, but we know it's a good place. We know it is a place where there is no crying and that there is no wrongdoing. It's a place of happiness, a place where we will know things just as God knows them now. I explained that heaven is a place that we should look forward to. If one looks forward to the event, then the circumstances in getting to that event are not as painful. For example, if the circus comes to town and Mother and Daddy say you've got to clean your room, you've got to mow the lawn, you have to pull some weeds from the flower beds, and do your chores around the house, doing these chores become important for observing and experiencing the joys of the circus. So it is necessary to go through the experience of death if one is to enjoy heaven after we die. It is true, we don't know much about the heaven, but one day we will. I'm reminded of a story, the origin of which I don't recall. It has to do with some water bugs that lived in a pond. It seemed that every now and then a water bug would get the urge to climb the stem of a lily and never return again. Of course, this frightened and perplexed many of the members of the family of the water bugs. One day, some of the water bugs got together and made a pact. They agreed that next time one of them felt the urge to climb a lily, and he did so, that they would come back and tell what it was like. Climbing all the way to the top, one time a bug, after getting the urge, managed with a great deal of effort to bring his little body over the lily pad on the top of the water. My, what a sight to behold. The sun was warm. He lay down for a moment and then he fell asleep. And when he awoke, he found his body was very crisp and stiff. He could hardly move. When he did move, he found that what was his body cracked open. He looked at himself. It was a different kind of self. To his amazement, he found he was no longer a water bug and that he had become a beautiful green dragonfly. He moved his wings. He found he could fly. He started soaring around and around the pond, looking at the lilies. What a wonderful feeling of being so fresh and clean and free. And then Then he remembered the pact he had made. He had agreed to return to tell his friends what it was like. But alas, he could not tell his friends. He could not even return. It was impossible. But this did not bother him very much, for he realized that one by one, the day will come when each one of his friends would feel the urge to climb the lily stems. One by one, they would throw their bodies on top of the lily pad. One by one, they would feel the warmth of the sun and go to sleep. And one by one, they will awaken stiff and crisp and find themselves a different kind of being. They would exercise their wings and find they can fly. Then they will know what the first one had felt and experienced. The important thing to remember, children, is that God loves you. Someday He'll call you home to be with Him. In the meantime, we must not be afraid, for God is with you by day and by night, in every way, at home, at school, or at play. God is love. God does all things right. There are no accidents. There are only incidents with God. Amen.